Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. This program is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Your host is Pastor Jack Schumann, pastor of the Emmanuel Free Reformed Church of Abbotsford, British Columbia. And now, here is Pastor Jack Schumann.
I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, as we read the verses 1 to 23. Hear God's holy word. Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem. Now when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups, pitchers, copper vessels, and couches. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" He answered and said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do.' He said to them, 'All too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, "Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, "Whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban, that is, a gift to God," then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect, through your tradition, which you have handed down. And many such things you do." When he had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, these are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." When he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So he said to them, "Are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods." And he said, "What comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." Thus far the reading of the word of God. May the Lord bless the reading and preaching of his word to our hearts. Dear friends, computers are wonderful tools. With a computer, you can do all kinds of things. You can write, you can draw pictures, you can watch videos, read books, make graphs and tables, and find information. You can do virtually anything. But when something goes wrong, it can be very, very frustrating. Normally, when you have a computer problem, the first thing you should do is reboot your computer. And if that doesn't work, you may have to look at other things. You might have a problem with your software or your hardware. And if it's an internal problem, then you may have to take it to a place to get fixed. Whatever the case, the problem will never be solved unless you get to the root of it. It's only when you get to the root of the problem will your computer function normally. Well, this is exactly what Jesus is doing in our text. Jesus and the disciples had arrived in the region of Gennesaret, a small village on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. No sooner did they arrive there than a delegation of scribes and Pharisees from Jerusalem noticed that his disciples were eating their food with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, and they wanted to know why. And this prompted Jesus to teach about the true source of defilement. The scribes and Pharisees believed and taught that defilement was external, in this case, eating with unwashed hands. But Jesus said no. Defilement, he said, is internal. It proceeds from the heart. Now, with that in mind and the help of the Lord, let's meditate on the words of our text under the theme, Jesus identifies the true source of defilement. And we'll consider, first of all, what it is, and secondly, what can and must be done about it. The scribes and Pharisees could not believe their eyes. There, right before them, for all the world to see, some of the disciples of Jesus were eating bread with unwashed hands. Now, to be sure, most of us would not eat with unwashed hands either. From the time that most of us were children, our parents taught us the importance of washing our hands before eating. And why did they do that? Well, because they knew how easy it is for us to contract harmful bacteria. And harmful bacteria travels from our dirty hands to our food, and that can potentially make us sick. And the only way to remove those germs and that bacteria is to wash our hands. But that is not what concerned the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes and the Pharisees were not concerned about hygiene, but about maintaining their tradition. To eat with unwashed hands, they believed, was to become ceremonially impure before God. And therefore, they said before eating anything, even a morsel of bread, you had to first of all wash your hands. But that's not all that they said. For Mark goes on to tell us in verse 4 that when the Pharisees came from the marketplace, they would wash as well, lest they came into contact with a Gentile or anything that might be unclean. What is more, he says, they would wash their cups and their pitchers and their copper vessels and even the couches that they sat upon. Whatever they came into contact with had to be washed. Otherwise, they would become unclean, or so they thought. Now, it goes without saying that none of these practices had any basis at all in Scripture. The law of Moses required washing in only a few cases. For example, before the priests went into the holy place in the tabernacle or the temple, or before they offered a sacrifice, or when a man or a woman had a bodily discharge. But there was absolutely no law requiring ordinary people to wash their hands before eating a piece of bread, much less upon returning from the marketplace, or before drinking from a vessel, or sitting on a couch. These regulations were made up over the centuries by various rabbis, called the elders in our text. But the scribes and Pharisees regarded these laws and regulations to be on par with the law of God. To fail to observe them, they believed, was the same as transgressing the law of God itself. And so when the scribes and Pharisees saw the disciples eating bread with unwashed hands, they were aghast. And so what did they do? Well, they approached the Lord Jesus. And why did they approach Jesus? Because their intention was to accuse him of something. If they could determine that he allowed his disciples to eat with unwashed hands, then they could accuse him of undermining the tradition of the elders and discredit him in the eyes of the people. And so they asked Jesus, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" Now, you know, there are still people like the Pharisees today. Like the Pharisees, they too become very upset when people also in the church do not observe certain traditions, even though these traditions have absolutely no basis in Scripture. Now, to be sure, some traditions are good and valuable and therefore should be maintained, even if there is no direct scriptural warrant for doing so. But no tradition, no matter how good it may be or how long it has been practiced, is on par with Scripture. We are bound only to the Word of God, not to the precepts of men. And that's the mistake the Pharisees made. They put their traditions on par with Holy Scripture. And as a result, they wanted to know why Jesus permitted his disciples to eat with unwashed hands. But you notice, rather than answer their question directly, Jesus used this as an occasion to point out an inconsistency of their own. Look at verses 6 to 8. He answered and said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do." Now Jesus here is quoting from Isaiah 29, verse 13. There Isaiah condemned the Jews of his day for two things. First of all, he condemned them for worshiping God with their lips, but not with their hearts. They did and said all the right things, but Isaiah says their heart was not in it. They were simply going through the motions, and that kind of worship is an abomination in the eyes of God. Secondly, he condemned them for worshiping God in ways that he himself had not authorized. They made up all kinds of rules and regulations, and they said, "If you obey these rules and regulations, then you are worshiping God." They substituted the law of God for the precepts of men, and as a result, their worship was vain. Now, Jesus here says that the scribes and Pharisees were doing exactly the same as the Jews were doing in the time of Isaiah. They were worshiping God with their lips, but not with their hearts. And they were substituting the law of God for the precepts of men. And consequently, they had no right, absolutely none at all, or authority to command others to do the same. Following this, our Lord gave a specific example of how they did this with reference to the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment, you remember, says, "Honor your father and your mother." But the scribes and Pharisees said this. They said, "If a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban, that is a gift to God,' then they did not have to honor their father or their mother." Now, Mark here is referring to the fact that in New Testament times, it was considered the duty of children to care for their parents in their old age. However, they said, if you did not want to keep that commandment, if you wanted to keep all of your money to yourself, then you could simply declare all of your income korban, which is an Aramaic word meaning gift or offering. And when you declare something korban, that means you set it aside for the Lord, and you could not use it for any other purpose. And so the Pharisees said that if you did that, then you could not go back on your word. The money continued to be korban. You could live off of it yourself, but you could not give it away, not even to your parents, not even if your parents were sick or old. And in this way, a man could appear to be very religious and yet break the commandments of God, making, as Jesus said, the word of God of no effect. And then Jesus did something unexpected. He completely sidestepped the Pharisees and he called the multitude to himself. Why did he do that? Well, because the Pharisees did not have the ears to hear what he was about to say. They had physical ears, to be sure, but they did not have spiritual ears. And so they would not be able to understand. Secondly, because what he was about to tell them was very important. They all needed to hear it. In fact, it was a matter of life and death. Well, what was it? He tells us in verse 15. He says, "There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man." Now here at last, Jesus answers the objection of the scribes and the Pharisees in verse 5. He declares that what makes a man unclean is not external, as the Pharisees taught, but internal. The source of his defilement lies not in what he does or what he fails to do, but what he is. It lies in his heart. Now, amazingly, none of the disciples understood Jesus' meaning. And so as a result, after Jesus left, the people and entered into the house where he was staying, the disciples came to him and asked him to explain. And we have a record of what he said to them in verses 18 to 23. And Jesus said, "Are you without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods?" Now, Jesus here is referring to the heart. Now, when we speak of the heart today, we refer to the organ that pumps blood to the various parts of the body. But in the Bible, the word heart refers to something different. It refers to a man's inner being. It is the heart that controls what he does and how he thinks and how he feels. And Jesus' point here is this, that food that is consumed does not enter a man's heart, but his stomach. The stomach then digests the food, and the waste is eliminated. And the point that he's making is that what makes eating defiling is not what comes in, but rather what goes out. And so it is when it comes to sin. Sin is not external to us. It is not a matter of what we do, such as eating with unwashed hands. No, sin is internal. It springs from the heart. Jesus says as much in verses 21 to 23. He says, "From within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." The point that Jesus is making is simply this: the human heart is a fountain of sin. What defiles a man is not what he does or what he doesn't do. These are merely symptoms of a much deeper problem. What defiles a man comes from within. It comes from his heart. Well, my friend, is that also your confession today? Like the Pharisees, we too can have such superficial views of sin. We can so easily think that sin is external to us. It lies in the things that we do and we don't do. But Jesus says, no. Your problem is not external, but internal. Your problem is deeper than that. Your problem is your heart. Our heart is like a volcano. When a volcano erupts, it spews lava and rock all over the place, causing unimaginable death and destruction. And that's our heart. Our heart is like an erupting volcano. Now maybe you ask, well, what happened to my heart, that it's now the fountain of all iniquity? Well, the answer, of course, is the fall. When Adam and Eve fell into sin, their hearts became wicked and corrupt. They received a sin nature, which they then passed on to all of their descendants, including us and our children. And now every aspect of our being, our thoughts, our words, our actions, our motives, they're all tainted with sin. And my friends, that's a serious matter. It's a serious matter because unless our heart is changed, we cannot stand before God, because God is holy. And therefore, whoever stands before him must himself be holy, not just on the outside, but on the inside as well. Well, what then can be done? Well, that brings us to our second point. We've seen that our number one problem is our heart. And we've also seen that if something is not done about that, then we're doomed. We'll perish in hell. So what can and what must be done? Well, first of all, we need to be very clear. We can do nothing about this ourselves. In Jeremiah 13, verse 23, Jeremiah asks this question: "Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard its spots?" And that's a rhetorical question. And the answer, of course, is no, they can't. Nobody can change the color of their skin. No leopard can change its spots. Well, my friend, so it is when it comes to our hearts and when it comes to sin. Sin is part of our nature. Our heart is corrupt by nature. And as such, it cannot be changed. At least we cannot change it ourselves. Now, the Pharisees tried. They thought that they could become pure by washing their hands before eating and by washing themselves after they came back from the marketplace and by washing their pitchers and their cups and their couches and many other such things. There are still people like that. They think as long as I do certain things and don't do certain other things, then I can be saved. I can earn my own way to God. But my friends, that's absolutely not true. Nothing we can do can earn us the favor of God. Why not? Because everything that we do is tainted by sin and is therefore completely and utterly unacceptable to Him. And what is more, what makes us guilty before God is not what we do or fail to do, as we've seen, but it's our heart. Unless our heart is changed, we cannot stand before God and live. And so where does that leave us? Well, it leaves us without hope, at least in and of ourselves it does. But my friends, the glorious news of the gospel is that what we cannot do, God is able and willing to do for us. He is able and willing to give us a new heart. A heart that hates sin, a heart that loves righteousness and seeks to live to the glory of God in all things. In fact, this is the kind of heart that God promises to give to every covenant child. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6, we read these words, "And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live." In circumcision, the foreskin representing sin is cut off and cast away. And this is what the Lord promises to do spiritually for His covenant people. He promises to circumcise their hearts. He promises to take their sinful hearts and to cut out the root of sin, making them new creatures in Christ. God says something similar in Ezekiel 36, verse 24 to 27, God says to His people, "For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." Here the Lord compares our heart by nature to a heart of stone. He promises to take that heart of stone and transform it into a heart of flesh. And that's not something that you and I can do. We can't give ourselves a new heart, but God can. And He's willing to do it if we come to Him in true contrition and sorrow for sin. Oh, my friend, have you done so? He is so willing. In Proverbs 23, verse 26, God cries out, "My son, my daughter, give me your heart." Why does the Lord want our heart? Because He knows how corrupt and diseased our old heart is. And He knows that as long as we don't receive a new heart, we will perish in our sins. And that's why He comes to us in the overtures of the gospel, and He invites, urges, commands us to come to Him. "Give me your heart," He says. Have you done that? Some of you, I fear, have not. You have no desire to go to God for this new heart because you think you don't need one. You think you're fine the way you are. But my friend, you're not fine. You have a defective heart, and it must be replaced or you will die. If the doctor told you that you have a heart condition that requires immediate surgery, would you not set everything aside, go to a heart specialist, and ask him to perform the surgery right away? Of course you would. And yet when it comes to your spiritual heart, you do no such thing. You keep on living as you always have, without God, living only for the world and the things of the world, and each passing day brings you only one more step closer to death, eternal death. And so I ask you, why do you delay? Oh, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. How can you neglect such a great salvation? But this message is not only for those who are unsaved, it's also for God's children. To be sure, child of God, you already have a new heart, but your heart needs to be renewed. Not just once, but again and again and again. Psalm 51, David prayed, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." And that must be your prayer as well, child of God. You must go to Him confessing that you're dirty, defiled, unclean, that your heart is still a fountain of iniquity. And then you must ask Him to take that heart of yours, to wash it and to cleanse it and to sprinkle it with clean water and make you clean and white as the snow. And He will, for He is faithful that promised, and He will keep on doing so until that day when our hearts will be renewed fully and completely. And the remnants of the old nature that still remain against our will in us will be completely and utterly removed. Jesus in our text teaches us about the source of true defilement. And we've seen that it is not what we do, but what we are. It's not external, but internal. The source of defilement lies in our heart. And we have seen, too, what can and must be done about it. Oh, may God give us grace to see something of the sinful condition of our heart, not as an end in itself, not to drive us to despair, but so that we might flee to Christ and receive from Him a new heart to His glory and honor. Amen. Dear friends, we always appreciate hearing from our listeners. If you were blessed by or have a comment on the message you've heard today, won't you please take a moment and let us know? Our mailing address is Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Lehman Road. And Lehman is spelled L-E-H-M-A-N, and that's in Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or give me a call at 778-982-9102. If you would like to listen to the message you've just heard once again, or if you would like more information about our program, including how to contact us and how to listen to other messages on this program, please visit our website at banneroftruthradio.com. That's all one word, banneroftruthradio.com. Support for this program is provided by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. If you would like more information about our churches, including who we are and what we believe and where you can find a church nearest you, please visit our website at www.frcna.org. That's www.frcna.org. Your financial support for this program is always welcome and deeply appreciated. If the Lord has placed in your heart a desire to help us to offset the costs of broadcasting this program on this station, you can send us a check in any amount. Again, our mailing address is 3386 Mount Lehman Road, L-E-H-M-A-N, and that's in Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9, or you can visit the donation section of our webpage. This program is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in and being an active living member of a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not a member of such a church, please make every effort to become one so that you are not in violation of the will of God. Thank you for listening, and now until next week, may the Lord be with you all.